Okay, Zechariah 14. Let me just read through fast. Zechariah 14, verse 2. Zechariah 14, verse 2. Again, I'm painting you the context so that you go to Isaiah 19. It will give you a clear picture of what actually is happening. Zechariah 14, verse 2. For I will gather. It is the Lord who will stir this up. For I will gather all the nation to battle against Jerusalem. The city shall be taken. Antichrist will overrun and rule over Jerusalem. What he will do is this. The houses will be raped. Women will be, many women will be raped. You know, that's the ugly side about war. It's not a nice thing. Okay, but why God allows it? That's why we need to pray for understanding. Okay, mercy, grace. We don't know why. Okay. Next, half of the city shall go into captivity. That means he will round up half of the Jewish people in Jerusalem and deport them to Egypt and Jordan. Let me tell you why I believe it's Egypt and Jordan. Write down these few verses. Isaiah 11, verse 11. Isaiah 11, verse 16. Isaiah 27, verse 13. Hosea 11, verse 1. Hosea 11, verse 11. Micah 5, verse 6. Micah 7, verse 12. Zechariah 10, verse 10 and 11. Remember, I talked about the second coming processions? Jesus will process across the sky. Then he will land in Egypt and bring all the Jewish people back from Egypt and Assyria area all the way back to Jerusalem. Right? How can he, the reason he bring them back, because the Jewish people, some will be deported as prisoner. Some were free to Egypt or Assyrian area. Okay, turn with me to Hosea. Hosea 11. After this, then we're going to go into Isaiah 19. Finally. Okay. Hosea. Hosea just before Joel. Hosea. Yeah, Hosea just before Joel. Maybe Joshua will call Hosea. Never mind. Hosea chapter 11. See, you must understand this. Hosea 11 is about end time. What is being spoken about Hosea 11 verse 1 is way beyond what happened in Moses' time, because many quote this as Moses' time. You need to study the context. Okay, Hosea 11 verse 1 says this. I'm going to prove it to you, because you go to verse 11, it will be crystal clear. When Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I call my son. Jesus will be there, gathering his people to come out. He will be reenacting the greater Moses. Just like Moses brought the Jews out of Egypt, Jesus will land in Egypt one more time, bring all the, inverted comma, Jewish refugees from Egypt, Jordan, back to Jerusalem. Turn with me to verse 11. Hosea 11, verse 11. This is even clearer, because it talks about both Egypt and Assyria. During Moses' time, it wasn't from Assyria at all. It's only Egypt. Verse 11. They shall, must read from verse 10. I love it. You know why? Jesus came as a lion of Judah. He will roar. He will crush the enemy. And at the same time, as they roar, the Jewish people were trembling, coming out. Finally, our king is here. That's what Hosea 11 is about. Hosea 11 gives us four powerful revelation of Jesus at his second coming. Okay, but just show you one. Verse 10. He will come as a roaring lion, because he is a conquering king. Verse 10, they shall walk after the Lord. He will roar like a lion. When he roar, then his son shall come trembling from the west. They shall come trembling like a bird. Ayo, what a description. They shall come trembling like a bird from Egypt, like a dove from the land of Assyria, and I will let them dwell in their houses, say the Lord. He will gather all the Jewish people from Egypt, Jordan area and bring them all the way back to Jerusalem. Okay. No time to run through one more verse. So just settle there. Go and read on your own. Isaiah 11, verse 11, verse 16. Isaiah 27, verse 13. Hosea 11, verse 1, verse 11, which I read. Micah 5, verse 6. Micah 7, verse 12. Zechariah 10, verse 10 and 11. Okay, turn with me to Isaiah 19. Now, we're going to talk about Isaiah 19. I'm not going to run through this, that, you know, every end time prophecy, there are always two fulfillment. Partial fulfillment, partial fulfillment and complete fulfillment. Partial fulfillment is always in the time of history of Israel in the Old Testament. The complete fulfillment is always referring to end time. They call it the near fulfillment and the far fulfillment. Near fulfillment is in Israel's time, whether it's Northern Kingdom, Southern Kingdom, talking about 720 BC or 586 BC. Okay, you know, if you understand. So I say, what is all these dates? Okay, it's all about the end time. Where, never mind. Okay, Isaiah 19. Isaiah 19. I'm talking about the far fulfillment, the end time fulfillment, the complete fulfillment. Because if you study Isaiah 19, a lot of what is being mentioned did not fulfill in Old Testament history of Israel. Isaiah 19. I'm going to run through fast because I realize I have half an hour. Half an hour for that 25 verses, a lot. Okay. Let me give you a simple outline so that you can go back and read it. Of Isaiah 19, verse 1 to 25. Okay. This whole prophetic destiny of Israel, of Egypt, in Isaiah 19, verse 1 to 25, can be divided into two parts, okay? Both the negative and the positive, okay? Negative and positive of God's plan for Egypt. Verse 1 to 15, which is Isaiah 19. Verse 1 to 15 talks about the negative, okay? God start with the negative. Please understand this. All these are in the context of what I just run through, okay? Final 7 years of human history. Verse 1 to 15, which is the negative, I'd say is God's redemptive discipline on Egypt. Okay, in 15 verses, where God used the discipline to prepare her for the ultimate purpose of God in end time. Verse 16 to 25. Verse 16 to 25, I call this the positive, which you can break down into five powerful prophetic declaration. Some call it prophetic decree. Some call it prophetic destiny or prophetic promises. Okay, let's settle as a prophetic declaration. Five prophetic declaration. Some call it five in that day prophecy of Egypt, because it all begins with in that day, which is a positive. Describe the end time purpose of Egypt, and the progression is, no, it progressed in intensity, all five. Okay, I'll tell you why. Isaiah 19, verse 1. I tell you, verse 1 is the highest point of Egypt history. Verse 1 talks about Jesus' second coming. He will land at Egypt. Egypt will be the first point of contact on the earth. I tell you, this is glorious. I believe it's a great reward to Egypt for being faithful to and standing with Israel. Not just that. When Jesus land, Jesus will deliver the Jew in Egypt, and Jesus will cleanse and purify the whole Egypt, which is in verse 22, which I'm going to talk about. Egypt will suddenly become the first Gentile nations to turn completely to Jesus. First Gentile nations to walk in complete millennium kingdom of glory. Wow. Verse 1. Okay, let's read. All these are prayer pointers too. That's why I agree with what Jim Gore say. Use all these 25 verses, target your prayer at Egypt. Okay, especially the five prophetic declarations. We're going to pray along the way as I run through each one. Isaiah 19, verse 1. The burden against Egypt. Now you read this verse, you know what it is about. It's talking about the landing. No, this sounds like some spaceship come back. you know, Houston, I'm back. No, it's talking about after Jesus processed across the sky, which is about 15 days, he will land. Now, I run to you the dates, not the dates, the timeline. The Bible is so clear about how many days procession in the sky, how many days procession on the land, and all the way to Jerusalem. Is that clear? Okay, it's so clear. If you throw in the Jewish feast, remember the trumpet feast, what do you call? Rosh Hoshana? After the trumpet feast is what? Yom Kippur. After Yom Kippur is what? The Feast of Tabernacle. Because you know why? God tabernacle with man. Millennium kingdom. You put everything together, the timeline is very clear. So now you read this verse, you know what it means. Jesus come round the earth and he land. Okay. Now you understand what I mean by this is the first contact point on the earth. I tell you, this is a glory. I mean, how I wish it's Singapore. But you can't change God's destiny for Singapore. And don't even try too hard. Okay. Verse 1. Behold, the Lord rides on the swift cloud and will come into Egypt. Of course, he talked about Jesus will cleanse the whole earth. That's why the idol of Egypt will totter at his presence. The heart of Egypt will melt in his midst. Next, verse 2 to 15. I'm going to run through quickly because I want to draw a little bit of time on the five prophetic decrees. Verse 2 to 15 talks about what will happen to Egypt in the negative, which is God's redemptive discipline. Okay, can break into three parts. Okay, first part is verse 2 to 4. Verse 2 to 4. You see, I read many of the emails. I read many emails. They interpret what happened to Egypt right now is Isaiah 19, verse 2 to 4. Cannot be. Because if you study Isaiah 19, it's in the context of end time. At best, it's only a foreshadow. Okay, Isaiah 19, verse 2 to 4. This is what it is. God, Jesus. Okay, maybe I should use the word Jesus more specifically. Jesus will cause great political strife and upheaval in Egypt. Write this down. Because of that, that's why many people interpret it as that way. See, it's exactly by what Isaiah 19 is talking about. No, Isaiah 19, the full fulfillment is still decades away. But when you look at what happened right now in Egypt, you know where it is heading. But we must interpret scripture according to the context and the time. Understand? Okay? So Isaiah 19, verse 2 to 4. God will cause great political strife and upheaval in Egypt. Verse 2. I'm going to run through briefly, verse by verse. Verse 2. The Bible says, civil war will break out. That's why it's a negative. You read through Isaiah 19, verse 2 to 15. I tell you, Egypt is in chaos. Everything is broken apart. Because it's God's judgment, cleansing, so that God can use her for the ultimate purpose. In verse 16 to 25. Verse 2, talking about civil war will break out. Let's read verse 2. I will. Who is that I? Jesus. God. Talking about he will stir up and cause a great civil war to break out in Egypt. I will set Egyptians against Egyptians. Everyone will fight against the brother and everyone against his neighbor. Sounds like civil war, isn't it? There will be a great civil war. City against city, kingdom against kingdom. Verse 3, God went even further. He gave no chance for her to recover. He will cause a total collapse of every confidence of the Egyptian in their system, culture, and whatever glory that you used to depend upon. That's what verse 3 is about. Verse 3, the spirit of Egypt will fail in his midst. You know, some nations have such great history. You know, let's say like America. They have such confidence they will always recover because they have great history. That's why they are called a great nation. But God will not let go. God will stir and cause a total collapse. That's why the spirit of Egypt will fail in this midst. I mean, the total confidence of the whole nation is crushed. Do you know this is all possible? This is what happened to Argentina in the early 80s. You know, Argentina, because of what happened in their nation, Great Revival breaks up. And you read this, you roughly have a glimpse of understanding what is Argentina. See, Argentina is at the southern tip of Southern America. If you know Argentinians are cocky people. They are proud. They think that they are the best nation in Southern America. And God has to bring the nations to her knees. Before 1982, what's the lady's name? Eva. The whole political system collapsed. They are proud of their political system. That's why it arose a dictator. And the dictator wanted to inject confidence into the nation. They went into the Falkland War. Remember the Falkland War? The Argentinian will call it the island is called Malvinas. In Argentina, it's called Malvinas. In UK, it's called Falkland. I don't know why so far Falkland belongs to UK. They went into war. Who lost? Argentina lost. Again, their confidence crashed. The third thing happened. It's all subsequent. It's like this. God is going to bring Egypt to her knees so that she will cry out to God. The third thing happened in Argentina in the early 80s. The economy totally collapsed. You know what's the inflation like in Argentina? Inflation is 1,000% per day. Now, no, Singapore, we are crying father, crying mother, 13 to 14%. What? How many percent? 3 to 4%. Oh, inflation and so on. 1,000 a day percent inflation. That's why the whole currency does not work. They peg themselves to one US dollar to one Argentina peso. You know what happened to this? Argentina was brought to her knee. The churches came together. They went to the city square of Buenos Aires. They kneel down. There is this obelisk there. Huge obelisk. They joined their hands. They kneel down. Repent before God. Revival struck Argentina. The longest revival in the history of church. 15 years. This is, if you understand that, you know what this is happening. God is bringing Egypt to her knee so that they will cry out. That's what is happening. But of course, this is in an even more intense scale. God is really bringing her to her ultimate knee so that she will live out the ultimate destiny of God for her. Okay. Verse 4. The Lord will allow the cruel leadership of Antichrist to temporarily rule over Egypt. Okay. Many interpret it as the Muslim Brotherhood. Cannot be. You will understand this as Antichrist after I run through the series of events. Okay, verse 4. That's how I ran through the context. Egyptian, I will give into the hand of a cruel master. Who do you think is a cruel master? Antichrist. Because remember, you throw in Daniel 11, Daniel 11 verse 40, the kings of north, east, south. The kings of the south resist, and Antichrist crush the kings of the south. Then she came. Of course, he didn't stay there. He put his own kakia there. He has his own, leaders and so on. In this context, it's called the oppressor. Okay, verse 4. And the Egyptian I will give into the hand of a cruel master, and a fierce king will rule over them, says the Lord of hosts. Next part, which is verse 5 to 10. Verse 5 to 10. It's talking about economy, agriculture, finance. God will cause Egypt to go into economy and agriculture crisis. Every of her confidence will be crushed. Okay, verse 5 to 10 actually describe a chain reaction or event that will bring Egypt to her knee. Verse 5 talks about the Nile River will dry up. You know there's a major river in Egypt? Nile River. Verse 5. Now river will dry up. The waters will fail from the sea. The river will be wasted and dry up. Verse 6 talks about river will turn foul and the canal system will fail. See, you must understand Middle East. Middle East are all desert. It depends on canal system to irrigate their land. It's called irrigate, right? Yeah, irrigations, if you understand agriculture. Annabelle will be expert. NPARK or whatever. Yeah. If the canal system fail, water will not be able to go into the inland. That's where they will have no water. Everything will fail. Agriculture will fail. Okay, that's verse 6. The river will turn foul. The canal system will fail. Okay, I don't know how it works. Just like, you know what happened to New Orleans? New Orleans actually is built around a canal. It has a major flood. It's because the canal burst during the 2005, the Hurricane Katrina. Okay, verse 6. The river will turn foul. The brooks of defense, we talk about the canal system, will be empty and dry up. Verse 7 talks about all this will affect the agriculture of Egypt. Okay, it will. It will affect big time. Verse 7. The peppers raised by the river, by the mouth of the river, and everything sown by the river will wither, will driven away, and be no more. Everything. They will be in agriculture crisis. I tell you, this is intense. God is bringing the Egyptian to her knees so that she will cry out to the Lord. You know, there's a history of, you know, if you study revival, there's always a few common denominator why the revival breaks up in nations. One is the nation is crushed in desperation. Two, because they are crushed in desperation, they cry out to the Lord in prayer. Okay, that's what is happening to Egypt. Verse 8, the fishery industry will be in crisis too. Okay, the fishery industry will be in crisis. I'm not going to read through it because I realize I have no time. Verse 9. The manufacturing industry will be in crisis. Because it talks about the textiles and so on. But in this context, it's modern day. Of course, it will be more than just textile. I'm talking about the manufacturing industry. That means the whole industry will be in crisis. Verse 10. The economy system will fail. The foundational structure of life in Egypt will fail. You're talking about education, finance, agriculture, family fabrics. Everything will collapse. Wow, I tell you, you won't cry out to the Lord. I don't know what you will cry out. Next, verse 11 to verse 25. Verse 11 to verse 25. God will cause a total collapse in the governmental leadership of Egypt. Okay, this is not referring to what is happening right now. Even though there's some similarity. But this is in the final 7 years of human history. But we are seeing a glimpse of it. I'm just painting you the picture. Okay. Verse 11 to 13. I'm just going to give you the context so that you can go on and read. I'm going to run through the five prophetic declarations about the destiny of Egypt. Verse 11 to 13. Because of the governmental leadership that is totally collapsed, they will be unable to solve the Egyptian problem, the nation's problem. Verse 14 to 15, God is going to help. God is going to send a perverse spirit to confuse. Okay, this the first part, the negative. Go and read on your own. It's interesting. In fact, we have to pray. Let's go to verse 16 to 25, which I want to dwell a little bit more. Actually, I don't have much time to dwell on it. Verse 16 to 25, which is what will happen to Egypt in the positive. Okay, where Isaiah declare five in that day prophetic declaration of Egypt in the last day. That means Egypt's end time purpose of God is all defined in that five prophetic decree. Important for us to know. Okay, let me just run through it, all of them, one by one. There will be a progression in intensity, all five. From individual to regional to national to global, eventually millennium. Understand what I'm talking about? That means it starts in a way less intense in the individual, but it's all intense, even in the first level. In the individual level, it will progress in intensity to the regional level, then to a national level, then to a global level, then eventually to the millennium level. I tell you, how big can it be? Millennium kingdom. Okay? First prophetic degree. It all began with that declaration of in that day. That's why some commentators call it in that day prophetic decree of God for Egypt in the last days. The first one, verse 16 to 17. Okay, all these are for us to pray. The first one, it affects individual, and I believe it affects governmental too. Verse 16 to 17 talk about God will release His glory and power on Egypt, specifically on the church. That's why if you read 16 and 17, it's talking about God waving His hand. Okay, this is not to say hi or say bye. In the Bible, when God waves His hand, it's referring to three things. Talking about He will release His power. Remember Acts 4? When the church was threatened with persecution, the church came together and pray. And one of the prayers they pray is that, God, may you stretch out your hand to perform signs, wonders, and miracles. So in this context, when God waves His hand, He's talking about He will release power upon the church. And this is a reenactment of Acts 5. Remember Acts 5? The church, no, the world feared the church. They were terrifying of the church because they see great power. But there's a second thing. When God waves a hand, He talks about shaking that specific nation as well as bringing judgment on the nation. And it will result in the fear of the Lord arising, and many unbelievers in Egypt will turn to Jesus. That's the first step. Let's read. Now you understand? I explained to you verse 17. Verse 17 is the same but different, slightly different. Isaiah 19, verse 16. In that day, I love the illustration. Egypt will be no insult to woman, okay? Just that she will feel like a woman. In that day, Egypt will be like woman. She will be afraid and fear. Why? Because of the waving of the hand of the Lord of hosts, which He waved away. That means He will wave, release great power. Because even though there were oppression at the time, under the rule of Antichrist, the Egyptian church will rise up. Because the church works this way. Greater oppression, greater glory. The church will be stronger and rise up. God will wave His hand, release great power. He will stretch out His hand to perform signs and wonders through the Egyptian church, the apostolic leader, the house of prayer movement. And when the people look, they were fearful because at the same time, God also released judgment and shaking upon the nations. That's what is going to happen. Listen to verse 17. If you want to understand verse 17, you need to read Revelation 11. Remember what happened in Revelation 11? Remember the two witnesses? In the final 3.5 years, God raised up the two witnesses, performed signs and wonders in Israel. That's why when they looked at the land of Judah, they were fearful because, wow, there's these two witnesses God is raising up. Even hearing it, they were terrified because God is waving His hand. That's the first part. Okay, verse 17. And the land of Judah will be a terror to Egypt because God raised up the two witnesses, performed great signs, wonders, and miracles, bringing down judgment, releasing the trumpet judgment. Remember? And when they heard of the judgment, they were terrified. Everyone who make mention of it will be afraid in himself because of the counsel of the Lord of hosts, which He has determined against it.